Welcome to Edgemont Bible Church in Fairview Heights, Illinois, where our mission is to glorify God by guiding people into a discipleship relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's listen in to today's message by our pastor, Douglas A. White.
Let's talk about the mighty angel and the little book. The mighty angel and the little book. I was trying to share with you last week, as we had the timeline on the platform here. Time begins right about in here for our illustration, and it runs all the way through the time of Adam and Eve and Abraham and the prophets and David the king and all those here up to the Lord Jesus Christ. We let the pulpit be the center for it, up to the Lord Jesus Christ. And beyond that, then, here's the book of Revelation just after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's talking about events that are going to take place here. We're somewhere in this area just before that end. God already knew all he was going to do here. But his revealing it to us is what we call progressive. It's progressive revelation. By that it means he gives us pieces at a time so that each generation is getting some of it, and each generation is building their faith on what revelation God has given to them. So people, if you follow where I'm coming from here, people were justified before God by believing God in whatever revelation they had. They didn't have all the revelation. Everybody with me? They didn't see the cross and all was going to take place in it. They could see looking ahead to it, and they knew that somewhere there was going to be, according to the promise given to Adam and Eve, there was going to be some Messiah born to the seed of the woman that was going to accomplish that. Someone. But they didn't know what someone. Matter of fact, when Lamech named his son Noah, he named him Comfort. Please bring us some comfort in the middle of this. Could Noah be that Messiah? Well, he wasn't. Then the one who was drawn out of the water, Moses. That's what his name means, is drawn out of the water. Moses, is he the Messiah? Well, certainly he led the people out of where they were. He led them into a new land. Well, he didn't get to go himself, but he led them to that new land. And they got a whole new covenant promise, but he didn't deliver them from their sins. That's when this one came. When the Lord Jesus Christ came, the 30 most important years in all of history, the incarnation through the resurrection and ascension, that's what Jesus Christ accomplished. Today, I want you to look with me at this very important chapter, because it's actually, the sixth trumpet has just sounded. The sixth trumpet had sounded, and from a result of that, matter of fact, take a look at the end of chapter 9, and let's pick up, after all the things happen in Revelation 9 with this sixth trumpet, look at verse 20. But the rest of mankind, who were not killed by these plagues, did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons, idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see, nor hear, nor walk. And they did not repent of their murders, or their sorceries, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Kids, we are living in a time just like this, when people are not repenting of their murders. We're still taking the lives of children as if they were unimportant. We're still deeply engaged in immorality, deeply engaged in sorceries. By the way, the word sorceries is the word pharmakia, from which we get our word pharmacy. So the sorceries that were used were the drugs that were given to people that altered the way they thought. By altering the way they thought, they could alter people's behavior. So that's what that's about. Pharmakia, when it's called sorceries, that's not necessarily involving let's all get out a Ouija board or let's get the local witch together and see if she can cast some spell. This was simply people using mind-altering drugs to change the way they think. Now, lest you think that just means it's got to be marijuana, some such thing as that. No, many drugs change the way you think. They alter a whole lot about you. That's why they're sometimes given to you. You're not thinking properly, so they give you some things that will help you think in a different way. Everybody see where I'm coming from? So that's the pharmakia. All right. So they didn't repent of all that. That was trumpet 6. Trumpet 7 hasn't sounded yet. There's one more trumpet to go. And all the things that go with trumpet 7, we don't even know that yet. So whatever that is, we've not seen that yet. But because of the response of the people, we have what we're going to look at here today. So read with me, please. I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven. Now, I'm going to stop right there for just a moment. A mighty angel? What have the others been? I mean, it's just this, if you could just for a minute think, what did he just say? This is one powerful angel. And he's coming down from heaven. He's clothed with a cloud. A rainbow was on his head. His face was like the sun. His feet like pillars of fire. He had a little book open in his hand, and he set his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land and cried with a loud voice as when the lion roars. When he cried out, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now, when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write. But I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up the things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them. So you and I will never know what was in there. I don't know that it's important for us to know. After we find this thing is finally over, we get to heaven, we'll come to him and say, do you know, there's only one thing bothers me. What did the seven thunders say? I don't think we'll find it extremely important. And if he wants us to know, I promise you, he'll let us know. All right? But here's what he goes on to say. Verse 5. The angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be delay no longer. Delay no longer. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophet. Oh, this is such a great passage. We're not even going to get to verse 8 yet. We're going to work our way through this. Notice here, it's a mighty angel, and this is a pause between the 6th and 7th. I don't know if you understand what privileged people we are, how special this is, that we're getting insights living here for things that are going to be happening here. This is God who said what separates him from all other gods is that he knows the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. Who else but the Eternal One could know what's going to be happening here? So the Eternal One is letting people who live here in the 20th century or the 21st century, he's letting us know what is going to take place. He was letting people who were in the 15th century. He was letting people who know in the 14th and that all the way to the first century. Remember, this was written to first century people. And they're getting insights to see what's going on. You're a blessed person, friend. God is letting you know what his revelation is all about. Well, let's take a look at this mighty angel with the little book. Notice, he's clothed with a cloud, so he's wearing clouds. And I was going to put some images up here of what, because I assumed there'd be some really neat stuff out there about this. Right? And honestly, I said, that I'm not doing that. Some of the images that come from this, the clouds looked more like a poofy romper that somebody was wearing as an adult. And I said, no way I'm putting that up there. Some of them looked a bit ancient. Art hadn't advanced a lot way. So far, not too many people modern have decided to post an image of what they thought that is. So use your sanctified imagination. This angel is wearing a cloud, and beneath the cloud what you're seeing are two pillars of fire, and above the cloud what you're seeing is a face that's shining like a sun, and around it is a rainbow. Now I say around because it's the word iris. And that Greek word iris is why you have an, why we call this part of your eye the iris, is because it's completely round. It encircles that little black thing in the middle. You follow where I'm coming from? So there's an iris all around it. So this iris is all around this guy. I want you to take just a few moments with me, and let's go back to Genesis chapter 9 for just a moment. Genesis chapter 9. No, matter of fact, don't go there. For the sake of time, let me just share with you what Genesis 9, 12 to 17 says. So would you write out Genesis 9, 12 to 17? Why do I want you to be able to look it up for yourself? Because your faith is not based on what anybody says from this platform. Your faith is based on the Word of God. Okay? So always make sure you know what the Word is so you can speak the Word when you want to tell what's going on. All right. Here's what it says. Genesis 9:12. This is the sign. This is the passage where Noah has now landed, and God is speaking to Noah, and he's letting him know things, and he's going to tell Noah about some signs. He said, "This is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations." Now, what's perpetual generations? That's all of us, one after another. So how many generations does that cover? Well, if the flood is right here, that covers generations all the way up to here. You follow where we're coming from? So this is kind of a long-lasting covenant. Let's go on further. "I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. It shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. The rainbow shall be in the cloud, and I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." Do you hear what that said? This is a covenant between God and the earth. This is a covenant between God and every living thing on the earth. That's not just people. That's every living thing. That means when a cow looks up and sees there's a rainbow, there's a covenant with that and him, the cow. Or, as Jeff might prefer, a sheep looks up and sees this rainbow. He's going to recognize this is part of the covenant. Now, I want to go back with you just for a moment. Think your way through this. And God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." Why does this angel dress the way he does? Folks, this angel is coming down with a cloud and a rainbow, and he's standing on earth and on the sea. When God sees the angel, what does he see? The cloud with the rainbow, and it is the perpetual covenant between God and the earth. Kids, what you're seeing right here is this angel making sure you grasp that the redemption of the earth is taking place. God is calling it back. The whole curse that had been... Romans. Listen, this is Romans 8, 16. "The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the sons of God, for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to futility, was not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pains together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body." Just think of this. What he promised back here, what he was going to do to the earth by saying, I have a covenant with the earth and everything that's on it. I have this covenant. And we've been seeing it reviewed over and over too, because we're part of the perpetual generations. And we've been seeing this bow and the rainbow and the cloud and it's all that. And now an angel comes standing, telling the sea, you're about to be redeemed. Telling the land, you're about to be redeemed. Raising his hand. Kids, look what he raises his hand to. Oh my goodness. When I saw this, I said, this is just beautiful. Listen to what he says in verse 5 again. Then the angel I saw standing in the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever. Now watch what he says about this. He wants to make sure we're not confused about which God he's talking about. He says he rules, he lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it. Now watch. He's going to make sure that everything gets covered. You got it? Everything. Heaven is being redeemed. Earth is being redeemed and the things in it. The sea is being redeemed and the things in it. He is taking care of all of this. This is God finishing a covenant. Now, here's what you should remember. God doesn't say things uselessly. He does not say anything in futility. What he said all the way back here, he will do. If he said a Messiah is coming and it be from the seed of the woman, it will be a Messiah that comes from the seed of a woman. He doesn't say anything wasted. He doesn't say anything in futility. He doesn't have anything in vain. When he made this covenant back here, it's because he's wanting us to know, way up here, someday I am going to redeem this whole thing because it's mine. Phew. That's the point, kids, in which you can vibrate and say, ooh, that feels good. Because it does. This is God Almighty. We are in the middle of seeing the revelation of God that was prepared in eternity past, and we're getting the privilege to see what it is. Oh, let's go on. Got too much yet to cover, huh? Let's look now. He has a little open book there, all right? There was so much more I wanted to share with you there, but we'll get to it in another time. Just as a reminder, clouds have always been a picture of either the judgment of God, the revelation of God. Think about the cloud and the pillar that led them, the pillars of fire that his feet are from. How did he lead them through the wilderness? Through the cloud and a pillar of fire. And it went on to say about that pillar of fire, that when that pillar of fire stood up, it gave light to the children of Israel on their side and gave horrible darkness over on the other side. That helped me understand, if light can give darkness, oh, it's fire that did that. What is hell? Isn't that darkness and fire? They're both together, kids. This is God giving us a picture of what hell is all about. That those who oppose God on the one side of that pillar of fire are in darkness, complete darkness. And those who are on the light side of that get to see light. Oh, God is good. But anyway, he has a little open book in his hand. Now, if you didn't get all the blanks so far, it's clothed with a cloud, haloed by a rainbow, face like sun, feet like pillars of fire. He's positioned himself with one foot on the land and the other on the sea. He cries out so loudly that it motivates seven thunders to peal. Their sounds are not mere thundering sounds, but are discernible voices. John understood what they said. Consider, John's going to write down what they said. You don't write down boom, 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 boom. You're writing down real words that you got to hear, and he heard those words, and he's going to write them down, and God says, no, do not write those down. That's not going to be given to my children. I don't want them to know. That's mine. So John has to seal them up, okay? John was forbidden to make their public utterances. Instead, he's to seal them up. Now, that brought a question to my mind, and I'm sure maybe it did to yours as well. This, the matter of sealing them up, will they ever be unsealed? Or is that something that we won't bother with, we won't care about? Whatever it is, we won't know what they've said, not in this life. Then he goes on to say, in number 6 of our outline, the angel with one foot on land and the other on the sea raises a hand to heaven and swears by the eternal creator of all things that the delay is over. Now, ours says delay. I was trying to translate this and I came across it and it said that the time would end. The time would end. In other words, not going to spend any more time on this. What he's telling us is, this: I've given you 6 trumpets. I have given a delay, if you would. I have been delaying since all the way back the flood. I have been delaying any further judgment. I've not been giving any further judgment, and I've been doing so all the way through to this point here. And when he raised his hand to heaven, he said, the delay is over. I have given you adequate time to repent. I have shown you. So this is a response to what they did after the 6th trumpet. Since they couldn't and wouldn't repent after the 6th trumpet, he says then, the delay is over. I've stopped. I have reached the end of what I'm going to give as my long suffering. I'm not long suffering anymore. And this is where you can say, had it not been for God cutting the days short, even the elect wouldn't have lived through this time right here. Because what's about to be poured out is going to be some of the worst damages that have ever been done on this planet. And it's all a part of the redemption of the whole planet. All right? Let's go a little further here. He says, in the days of the 7th angel sounding, the mystery of God is finished. What? The mystery of God is finished. All this that the Father has known and kept within himself, apparently sometimes hasn't even shared with the Son. All that he has known, he has been progressively revealing to us all along. The fullest revelation we had was in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have been blessed to be a recipient of the Bible. You have now everything he said up to this point. And here with this book, you have everything he's going to say about the end of it all. Now, that book may be sitting in your lap right now. Would you consider just for a moment how valuable that book is? That book is so valuable and so scary that when people dared to put it in their own language, they were burned at the stake, killed, destroyed, all the copies they could, burned. And you've got a copy of it, probably more than one, probably more than two, in your own home. You have the Word of God. I don't know what that does to you, but sometimes I will come up here and I'll think, what are you about to do? Do you understand what you're doing? You're going to take God's word in your own rusty, dusty little mouth, sinful little thing that it is, and you're going to speak it as if you know it. That scares the life out of me sometimes. Do you know I'm going to answer at the judgment seat of Christ for this? For what I'm telling you, I'm going to be answering one day. I want to give a good answer. That's why I don't want your faith resting in anything I said. Goodness, what if you got up there and said, but Doug said, and he says, who's Doug? The Word of God says, oh, I know that one. You follow where I'm coming from? You have it in your lap. This is the Word of your Creator. Well, just go on. He says that in the days of his of the 7th angel sounding, this mystery is going to be complete. So whatever it is that God wanted us to know is going to be finished in the days that this 7th angel sounded. So the whole mystery, the whole story is out by this guy. All right. When I thought of this, I realized that this answers the question how asked by the martyrs of the 5th seal. Do you remember those martyrs of the 5th seal back in chapter, was it 6? They said, "How long, O Lord? How long before you avenge us?" This angel is saying, "The delay is over. I am about to complete all that I was going to complete. You will be avenged at this moment. But this seventh angel sounds, you're going to see the end of what you asked for back then." Now, kids, let me just say it this way. God will answer prayer. He may not answer the prayer you want in the time you want. But He's not limited to time. He only seeks the result that He wants to get from your prayer. This reminded me so much. He says, it will complete, how's he say it here, the mystery of God would be finished, he declared to his servants the prophets. So whatever he said to the prophets, that's about to be finished. That reminded me of something I remember in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 13:8 says this, "Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. They'll be complete. It's not that they won't work anymore. It means they'll be fulfilled. They'll be completed. Whether there are tongues, they'll cease. They'll burn themselves out. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Why? Because it's not needed out here. You have it now. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. And when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now we see in a mirror dimly. But then, face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." So here's the promise to the people who are living right here and have been living all those centuries since then, that when this angel holds up his hand, when this angel swears by the one who lives forever, the one who created everything, he's saying, everything the prophet said is about to be fulfilled right now. When that seventh angel sounds, you, all of you right there who know in part, you only know part of what's going on, all of that's going to change with this right here. You will know everything there is to know. You will know the plans that He made back here and has been revealing just bits and pieces of all along. Now, out there, you'll know all of them. Listen to what he went on further to say. "Now to him who's able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began." Kept secret since the world began. "But now has been made manifest by the prophetic scriptures and has been made known to all nations according to the commandment of the everlasting God for obedience to the faith." What is that? That God would bring together Jew and Gentile in one Savior. There would be one Savior for both heaven and earth. There would be one Savior who would be the inheritor of all things. God would, in fact, restore the earth that had been ruined by sin. It would one day be all of that you're coming into. "But we speak the wisdom of God," Paul wrote in Corinthians, "in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory." Ephesians 3:9, "And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in Him." When God creates the heavens and the earth, and back here this whole divine council, this whole angelic structure, this whole population of heaven, they did not know what He was going to do. They were just as ignorant as we are. There's going to be a progressive revelation, and they're going to be watching all along to see, well, what's He saying? What's He planning to do? What's He planning? And they're going on because of His long suffering. They're going on thinking that they've got control. They've got control. We're in control of this thing. He's not going to do anything. There's nothing more to go. He keeps revealing this a little bit. And then when they have Jesus here, they realize, oh, this is Him. This is the Son of God. So let's kill Him. And when they get Him killed, they believe that whatever He was going to do has now been nullified. You see what the resurrection just did? The resurrection changed everything. Whoa!
We were counting on that one. Where does that come from? You can look through all the scriptures like that, and you're not going to see the exact thing that took place. But you're going to see it hinted at over and over and over again. How do you have a kingdom that's forever if you don't live forever? And a kingdom had been promised that was a kingdom forever. It had been promised to David's son. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. It said further, Colossians 1:26, the mystery which has been hidden from ages, from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. I got more than I'm not going to share any more than that. I think you're getting my point. My point is, you have the Bible, and you have a whole lot of it. But here's the problem we got. We're living right here, and we don't see how all those things go together. The book of Revelation shows us how they go together. But even at that, we're going to have to do some work to understand the book of Revelation. Ever see where we're at? So it's not here. When that angel sounds, nobody has a question anymore. Now everybody knows what was God's plan. And they're going to see the restoration is just right around the corner. They're going to know that Jesus is coming back again. Okay. But what's Jesus going to do with from this point on? Destroy all opposition, take it all out before he returns. All right. Well, let's do a little bit more. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of excited about this whole thing. In his manner of addressing the author of this declaration, he makes clear that God has created all things to be found anywhere in the whole cosmos. Nobody can take credit for anything else in the cosmos than the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one. Let's do a little work with the little book. I've had a lot of fun with this one, trying to figure out what's that little book about. First of all, let's go to verse 8. And let's pick up here. Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. Now, a book. Please understand, books didn't come into the book like what you got, the pages that open. They didn't come into existence for quite some time yet. So we're looking at a scroll. It's a little scroll. All right? I go on with me. Here's the odd command. Take the book from the angel. It's just an unidentified voice from heaven that says, take the book from the angel. Now, I got to remind you, this is a mighty angel who has just, when he cried out, whatever he cried out, caused all seven thunders to cry out something. I mean, heaven is not a quiet place. I guess I'm looking at the same thing. Wow, this is not a very quiet place. People yelling and screaming all the time, or beings, they're making some loud noises and all that good stuff. And you're told now, as the little human being that you are, who's been watching these things totally addled by what you're seeing, writing things down, now you're told to go take something from the mighty angel. Yeah. Yeah. I'm an old man that's been exiled to an island who hasn't eaten in a while, and I'm going to go just yank that out of his hand. Well, that's an odd command, wouldn't you agree? He requests the book as commanded. An angel adds an additional command to eat the book. Look at this in verse 8. Then the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again and said, go take that little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. So I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And he said to me, take it, take and eat it. And it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. Then I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and I ate it. And it was as sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. So in other words, John, you've got some work to do. There's more for you to do. I want you to listen with as I go read a section of the book of Ezekiel. This is from chapter 2 and 3 of the book of Ezekiel. Here's what it said. And he said to me, son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you. Then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me, and he set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me. And he said to me, son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. They are impudent and stubborn children. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord God, As for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, you dwell among scorpions. Do not be afraid of their words, or dismayed by their looks, though they are a rebellious house. You shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Now when I looked, there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. Then he spread it before me, and there was writing on the inside and on the outside. That reminds me of the big scroll that we had just now. He said, inside and outside, and written on it were the lamentations and mourning and woe. Moreover, he said to me, son of man, eat what you find. Eat this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat that scroll. And he said to me, son of man, feed your belly. Fill your stomach with this scroll that I give you. So I ate, and it was like in my mouth like honey in sweetness. But in just a few verses later, it says, so the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness, in the heat of my spirit. But the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. And then another verse says, just three verses after that one, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Hear therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. And that's what happened to Ezekiel. Do you see any similarities in what happened to Ezekiel and what happens here? That little book was sweet in his mouth, but it turned bitter. And it turned Ezekiel bitter, and John is going to eat this, and it's going to turn bitter in him as well. But I want you to see what he told John to do in verse 11. You must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. So he's still got something to do. So this little book that was written on the inside and the outside, I'm beginning to believe, was the book of his commission. This is the message he's supposed to give to all those people. So he's eating that book. When I first read it, I thought, oh, I know, this is the rest of the book, the big book that was open. All seven seals have been removed now. So that book can be open. And what we've seen with each of the seals, not the book, not when it was open, what we see with each of the seals was some judgment that was given. And he calls that part of the delay. The judgment he was giving was to give people time to repent. So I looked at this little book and thought, okay, looked the big book here and said, well, then this must be the remainder of what's not been done so far. But now I don't think that's what it is at all. I think this is John's commission, what he's supposed to do, just like it was with Ezekiel. And the commission isn't just to Israel. His commission is to all the peoples of the world. This message of this book and the message that John writes is our message to be given to all the nations who are under now the tutelage, the ownership, the propriety, if you would, of the principalities and powers who are in rebellion against God. This book is our license to speak to them about the redemption of the earth, the redemption of people, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the inheritance of a new world by the Lord Jesus Christ. All of that is included in that. But this little scroll, I think, is John's commission to go on and do what he's supposed to do. All right? Well, that takes us through chapter 10. What do you learn from this? Well, here's something I learned from John. When God gives you something to do, do it then. If God's going to tell you, take a little book out of the hand of a mighty angel, that means that God must be with you or you're not going to get to do that. So, go. Just go do it. If it seems impossible, if it seems difficult, just do it anyway. If God has said it, just do it anyway. Fair enough? He's been obedient to everything that God has given to him. If God says, don't write that down, what's John going to do? He's not going to write it down. He's done. He has been following through obediently with everything that God has to say. What can we learn from that? obedience. What do we learn also from that? That God does not speak in vain. If he said back here to Noah, when I see the bow and the clouds together, I will remember my covenant with the earth. I will take care of that covenant. So the angel is reminding God of the covenant you made with the earth. This is yours to redeem. Redeem it. What else I learned from this? That the Word of God is true. It's more important than anything else you can read. This isn't just vain words to be read. This is God speaking. And he's speaking to people who have lived in that generation, this generation, this generation, this generation, all the way through all those perpetual generations to us. And if there's 50 more generations after us, then it would still the same truth. You follow where I'm at? All right. When we start into chapter 11, we're going to look back, we'll get some history. Matter of fact, 11, 12 are both histories. Matter of fact, 11, 12, and 13 are all histories. They're going to take us back to take a look at what has happened while all these things that John's been doing has been going on. So we're going to get a chance to go back and see what's going on in the early part of this tribulation. We're going to get a picture to see where and who this Antichrist is going to be. Those are all coming up in 11, 12, and 13. But by the time you get to 17, where Babylon is destroyed, kids, it is rapid fire at that point. By the time the seventh angel sounds, big news is coming. It's coming so fast. It's coming in within months, just bump, 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 bump. You have so much to look forward to in this book, don't you? I'm just looking forward. This is fun. It's kind of awesome, terrible like fun, but it's still, we're getting a chance to see what God said to him. Next week, we will have Dr. Bill Adams here. Dr. Adams, next week is the first Sunday in May, right? Is that right? Yeah, okay. It's first Sunday in May. Dr. Bill Adams will be here. He is with Bridges for Peace. That is a Christian organization that is trying to work with the Israelis who are in the land. Israelis who are, because it's based in Jerusalem, so they're working with people in that land. They're feeding people, they're caring for people, giving the gospel to people, giving it to whoever hears it. Their most recent project has been helping people come back from Ukraine and come into the promised land. And they, as they're coming as refugees, but they're helping them to get assimilated to be living in the land. Kids, that is exactly what God said he was going to do. He was going to cause the nations to give up the Jewish people. They're on their way back home, kids. He's got Ezekiel 36 and 37 that he's going to complete, restoring Israel to their place. Then 38 and 39 will take place. Wow. What a great time you're living in. Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your kindness to us, your goodness to us, the giving us revelation of what you're doing. We're a blessed people, and we thank you for the great blessing you're giving to us. Now we ask that you administer grace and peace to each of us. Father, let no one leave here today who doesn't know that if they died tonight, they'd go to the heaven that Jesus Christ has prepared for them. And I want to thank you for what you're going to do. Save souls, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Look, there's a whole lot of big stuff coming. Now, understand this, it's got to build up to it. That doesn't just, one day everything's just going real peachy keen, and then all of a sudden, the world falls apart. Kids, there's a whole lot of things building up to it right now. He's getting people ready. He's in that evangelism mode right now. He's bringing people to Christ all over the world. Join it. Let's be a part of bringing people to Christ, a part of that worldwide movement. Why does he want to do that? Because he knows what he's about to do. And there's always that mercy before there's wrath. Brothers and sisters, let's get engaged with the mercy work. Father, thank you so much for what you're going to do. You're an awesome God. You don't say anything wastedly. Thank you that you have given us the truth. You've told us what's going to take place. You've told us what we have to deal with. So, Father, bring to us the courage, the boldness to speak to the world who may not want to know Christ, but I can see their need to hope. So, Father, help us to bring the hope to people they really need. In Christ's name, we ask you to dismiss us with your grace and peace. For his sake, amen. God bless you. Have a great and wonderful day.
We hope God has encouraged you with today's message by Pastor White. Thank you for joining us at the Edgemont Bible Church. We'd love to have you visit us if you're ever in the area. For directions, more information, or to support the ministry of Edgemont Bible Church, please go to our website at edgemontbiblechurch.org. That's Edgemont Bible Church, all one word, .org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Edgemont Bible Church, where the Sunday morning message is broadcast live.